Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church. Today, Pastors David and Nicole sit down with close friend, best-selling author, and fellow pastor Joel Osteen.
Nicole and I have a special guest with us today that you probably have never seen before. But it's Joel Osteen. Joel, thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Pastor David. Nicole, great to be with you all and your beautiful church as well. Thank you guys for being at Faith Church today, a great church in America.
You know, both our churches in St. Louis and West Palm Beach, everybody just really looks up to you. You bless each and every one of us with your books, encouraging people every day. And so it's just an honor. You know, Faith Church is one of the only churches that gets to do this, to just get behind the scenes at Lakewood. I mean, some people are probably watching right now looking, wow, I've seen that so many times. I mean, tell us just a little bit before we get into the sermon part of things. I mean, it's been several years now, but it's still got to be an 16,000 seats. This is pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, it still amazes me. Every time I come, I used to have season tickets to watch the Rockets right back there on the fourth row in section 104. And we celebrate our 10th anniversary here, but it just... David, it's part of what you and I both, and Nicole, we all teach, is that God's dream for our life is bigger than our own. Yeah. I never dreamed I'd be here. I worked 17 years behind the scenes for my parents and thought that's what I would do with my life. I liked doing the production and the lighting and things like that. But when my dad died, I knew something down in here said I was supposed to step up and pastor the church. And, you can't really explain it. I just knew I was supposed to do it. I never ministered before. But I took that step of faith and never dreamed it would grow. I mean, the church, we had 6,000 people when my dad was there, but never dreamed any of this would happen. But that's why it's so easy for me to encourage you that God's dream for your life is bigger than your own. And when you honor God, you keep being your best, you keep, going to work, doing what you more than you have to do, and really not even working under people, working under God, because promotion comes from the Lord. It doesn't come necessarily from people. So I just encourage you, keep being your best every day, and every day you do that, you're passing the test. And we stand here today, sit here today as a testimony to God's goodness, His faithfulness. Plus, David, it's a testimony to the legacy of my parents. Yeah. They sowed 40 years into people's lives. And, again, it tells me that everything you do matters. The right decisions you make, you're not only going to reap harvest from it, but I believe your children. So true. I mean, I am reaping... I realized I started 40 years down the road because where my parents took me, at least in the church world. So as you keep doing the right thing, you're storing up mercy and favor for future generations.
So Joel, did you know your entire life that this is what you were destined for, that this is what you were going to do, that it would end up here one day?
I didn't, Nicole. I really didn't think this was in me. I didn't think I had it. My dad would try to get me up here to minister, but... Not at this place, but at the old church. And I say, well, Daddy, that's just, I'm not a preacher. I mean, my personality is more laid back, more behind the scenes. I like that. I was comfortable there. But I think I would have loved to do it, but I just didn't think it was in me. But sometimes God uses adversity to push you into your destiny.
Yeah, that's good.
So when my dad died, I could not get away from that feeling that I was supposed to get up there and minister. And again, we didn't know it would. I didn't know if it'd work. And I thought, you know what? At least I'm going to try this. And if it doesn't work, I'll go back to television production. But,
it worked.
Well, it worked. And, again, that's why it's so easy for me to encourage people that you have gifts and talents in you that you have not yet tapped into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would be probably the least likely one to be up here in front of all these people every weekend. But, I just be encouraged because God never wants you to get to a certain spot and get stuck there. Mm-hmm. And not that, it doesn't mean you're going to change fields, but He wants you to keep growing and increasing. And sometimes we think, well, I'm just a school teacher or just a business person, just a student. But you're not just anything. You're a child of the Most High God. And He's got greater things in store for you.
Yeah. Joel, I think if I didn't know you, we were at your house for dinner last night. If I didn't, over the years, know you, I would look at you and think, he just probably thinks he's equipped. He's qualified. I'm quoting you now. I'm equipped, I'm qualified, I'm anointed, I'm powerful, I'm blessed. And these are things I think you really, just knowing you personally, those are things that you actually needed to hear yourself. And so you said it. So people are probably thinking, he's the most secure, you're the Pope of Hope. I mean, people think you're the most secure person in the world. Do you still deal with insecurities? And I think I know the answer to this. I mean.
Well, I think we all do. It's changed. But, when I first started ministry, we were talking about a little bit this a little of this last night that, you know, when I would, when Sunday would roll around, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, I would think, there's no way I can get up there. I'm scared to death. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I would have to talk to myself and do just what you're saying. I said, Joel, you know, you are well able, you are equipped, you are empowered, you are anointed. And, you know, if you don't talk to yourself, yourself can talk you out of your own dreams. Yeah. And I think, David, you know, so many people have the wrong recording playing in their mind all day long. And it's just, you know, it's just negative things. I'm not attractive. And, well, look how talented he is. I'm not near that talented. But you have everything you need. When you put that recording going in the right direction, and I know I say it every service, but I'm disciplined, I'm focused, I'm talented, I'm creative, I'm attractive, I'm one of a kind, I'm a masterpiece, I'm blessed, I'm prosperous. And I think sometimes too, David and Nicole, people think, well, you know, Joel, you say all that, but I don't feel blessed and I don't feel anointed and I don't feel talented. But you have to believe it before you're going to see it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the trick. I mean, I didn't feel confident, I didn't feel secure, I didn't feel like I was well able, but as I continued to tell myself that, and again, it's what God's word says. You're not just making stuff up, but it's what the scripture says about you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what can come alive in your life when you get your recording going in the right direction. You know, just get in agreement with what God says about you. You may feel not blessed, but you know what? God says I'm blessed, so God, I believe I'm blessed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, you tap into that, it changes your attitude, and things go better.
You know, in your book that you just released, The Power of I Am, I haven't read the whole thing yet. I'm reading it because I thought I could read it quickly, right? But I can't. David was making fun of me because I was highlighting and writing so much on
each
page. She's
writing a book inside your book.
He's like, don't write Joel's book for him. I'm like, but it spurs so many thoughts and so many things come up out of me when I'm reading it. And that just, so you were telling, you're able to say these things about yourself, but how? What gives you the inspiration to say that? What do you even know to repeat? Because that might be where people can get stuck, is I don't feel it, so what do I say?
Yeah, what do you say?
You know, I think you just have to take that step of faith, and even though you don't feel it, say, well, you know what, this is what God says about me, so I'm just going to take that step of faith. For instance, when I first started ministering, I felt very afraid, but I would tell myself that I am strong, I am confident, I am secure, I am well able, and you know, you start getting the wrong thoughts out of you and it changes your perspective. And I don't think it's just, you know, because people say, well, you're just telling people to be positive. But it's more than that. It's releasing your faith to say, you know what, I don't feel secure or confident or whatever right now. But God, I believe I am blessed. I am confident. I am secure. So it's, you know, it's not just, be positive, have mind over matter. It's getting in agreement with God. It's your faith being released. And you know, the scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. I think that's a big part of it.
It really is. You know, I think sometimes in my own life, I have that reoccurring thing going on in my brain. Well, this is the way it's always been. Well, your dad didn't make it any further than this. And so you kind of get stuck in a rut and a mindset. And one of the things that I love about, you know, Faith Church and other, you know, great teachers like yourself is we're always every week not telling people what's wrong with them, focusing on what's right with them. You know, right now here in the, you know, 2015, we're seeing that, you know, everybody's afraid, the economy, what's going on with the economy? And the Bible said this, he said, there is no fear in the perfect love of God. Perfect love casts out fear. He said, he's going to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. We're going to be okay. And in the last days, I think, Joel, that people are reaching out, one, for something that's real, and that's something here at Faith Church and with yourself. And I think they're looking for something positive. There's enough bad news in the world. It's time that some good news comes. So I just really want to continue to encourage people, like, you know, Nicole was saying a minute ago, what do you do about the, how do you say certain things? And I know we're talking about I Am, but your book, I Declare, we did a thing and I Connect at our church and people started reading like it's September the 13th every day, you know, or it's October 12th. You just read one a day and you start saying things. You've lined it out for them. I declare that I'm blessed. I declare that I'm going to meet the right people. I declare that, you know, goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. Those are some practical how-tos. And I know that's why some of you came to church today is you're wanting a sermon. This is a powerful behind-the-scenes sermon right now, getting into the mindset of Joel. And even a minute ago, you said something about, you know, your dad. And I watched last night as the kids came downstairs for a minute, you know, and here's your kids. And, you know, Jonathan's getting ready to go to college. And I looked at them and thought, it's so amazing now how this is the third generation. They're up on the stage, they're singing. How would you say, just say, a lot of mom and dads are at Faith Church today. sometimes you get aggravated with your kids, right? You're just like your brother, you're just like your dad. Talk to us just a moment about kids, speaking the word and an I am attitude over them.
Yeah, I think it's so important because, you know, it's easy to call people, to call your children what they are, but, you know, the scripture and God says to call them what you want them to be. And I just go back to the scripture, David. I call my children every day in prayer, Lord, I think that my children are mighty in the land. The scripture says that the seed of the righteous is blessed. And so I just encourage you. You know, you can pull things out of your children that they can't see in themselves. I mean, even Victoria, talking about a spouse now, but she told me that I could get up and minister 10 years before my dad ever died. I used to think, this girl does not know what she's talking about. But you know what? She saw things in me that I could not see in me. And I think it's the same way with your children. I mean, they're you know, when you tell them what they can become, like, you know, you can make good grades. You are going to do great things in life. I mean, they need that affirmation. And so I just encourage you to, you know, I think in our home with my parents, you know, the biggest factor I think that most of us kids, we turned out okay. You know, none of us got way off course. But you know what?
That's true.
But, you know, I think that in the atmosphere of the home, I mean, the parents create the atmosphere of the home. So when there's an atmosphere of faith, of joy, of peace, I think that's so important that that children pick up on that. Like, my parents never made us come to church. We wanted to come to church because all of our friends were there. And, right. And we saw in the home, my parents were the same at home as they were in the church. Mm-hmm. And so I think that integrity and not confusing a child. But anyway, getting back to it, I think just if you can keep the atmosphere of your home, your children are probably picking up on that more possibly than what you say, especially telling them, you know, don't do this, don't do this. Model love and excellence and respect.
Well, and that the power of I am, the I am almost can become, if you're a parent or a spouse, a you are.
Yeah,
not just speaking those things over yourself, but speaking those things over your spouse, speaking those things over your child, because it's tempting when your child is acting up, say, hey, you always act up. It's just tempting in that moment. And so speaking those you are's like Victoria did over you before you saw it in yourself. She told you what you were and in the Word of God so that you could really start receiving it. And when you do believe those things, my favorite story in your book, and they say when you preach something, the first time give credit, so I'm giving credit this time. The second time a friend said, and the third time you just tell a story.
That's right.
But
you
told a story about these cows in India and this man who raised cows. Do you know what story I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
And yeah. I love how this man, so you got to get the book, it's in chapter 4, and this man only had one cow. And he was poor, and he was a pastor, and he was really believing God. And instead of thinking that this was the end of him, he knew that things were coming and things were going to be great. And his neighbor was rich and mean and charged everybody too much. Well, he had so much favor on his life and was believing for good things for his life that 10 cows from the rich guy kept coming to his house. So many times, the 10 cows stayed. The pastor started a business. It started doing so well. He started being good to the people. The people bought from him. Wow. So much so that the rich guy said, you're putting me out of business. I want you to buy my company real cheap. And now the pastor could provide for the community and provide for everyone in such a great way because the power of you are the power of I am.
That is so good. Nicole, you told it better than me.
That is
so good. Yeah, I tell somebody, you know, God's got the cows looking for you. You keep honoring God and you keep that right attitude of faith. You know, God will get the right things to you. It's almost like this building, Nicole. I mean, we tried to buy property other places. It wasn't available. It was kind of, some of them was sold out from under us. But this building has been the premier facility in Houston for 20 years. It's where the Rockets have won championships. It's a city-owned facility. And, you know, when it came, you know, we got word that the Rockets were moving out. It's a long story, but I mean, the chances of us getting this place in the natural were so, so small because there's a business community all around us, probably 6 or 8 high rises, and they definitely wanted this facility. They said it's our front door, our back door, and our side door because the freeway's right out in front of us. But you know what? God can make a way. We did just what you said, spoke words of faith. We chose to believe. We didn't let the doubt play over and over. And, you know, our attitude was, God, we know you have the right facility for us, and we believe this is it. And I think part of that faith, too, is, you know, you tell God what you want, what you're believing for, and then you put it in His hands. You keep believing, but you put it in your hands. I said, God, if I'm wrong, you know what, I've told everybody this is what I believe, but you know what, I believe you'll make me not look too bad if we don't get it. But you know what, it came through.
It does, and you got to dream big.
You got to.
You know, I think about, you know, we used to watch, my dad used to watch your dad on television all the time, and didn't even know you back then, didn't know you were the one pushing the buttons and making them look so good. And I love the way he would turn, you know, and look at the camera on this side. Those are just great, great things. But that inspired us. And watching you and meeting you years ago through Joyce Meyer brought me here to Lakewood. I was backstage with her and didn't even expect to meet you. And there was this divine appointment. You tap on our shoulders and we become friends. And I guess the point that I want to make out of that is, I always say this, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And so you're like, well, I wish I could hang around Joel, or I wish I could hang around this person. You can through YouTube, through the books. And all of a sudden your mind begins to stretch, and a mind stretch never goes back to its original size. And you start just dreaming bigger and thinking bigger. And for me, part of it was this guy got born again, and he at our church, and he invited me to go on this boat with him and his dad. And we spent a few days out there. And we were at this marina in the Bahamas, and I looked around at all these boats. I mean, some of these, I'm like, how much does a boat like that cost? You know, I'd never been outside of a river on a canoe, you know? So they're like, oh, that boat's $10 million. That boat's $5 million. I'm like, holy moly, this is crazy. And what it did for me is it stretched my mind out. So I thought, if these guys can afford these boats, they don't even know Jesus, we could afford a boat for God. We could build God a great church. And it was at that point that my mind stretched out big enough to buy one of our campuses at the time. You know, it was 150,000 square feet, 177,000 people drive by a day, our Earth City campus. Some of you are sitting there right now. Joel, you've been on that stage and at the Sunset Hill stage preaching. And the point was and is that if you continue to hang around people that think low and defeat, you'll continue to model, seeing that modeled, and then you'll live that out. So I just want to encourage you today to start changing the way you think so you can change the way you live. And one of the ways you can do that is through daily renewing your mind. Continually think about what you're thinking about. Cast down those imaginations that come and say, you know what, this is not going to happen. You know, it's going to happen to them because you're a preacher or whatever. I mean, we know all kinds of preachers this isn't working for. It works for the people who work it, trust God, stretch their capacity, and believe with God all things are possible.
You know, that's so important what you're saying, David. I think probably the biggest thing that I see that holds people back, one of the biggest, maybe not the biggest, is hanging around the wrong friends. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't really, it's hard to rise any higher than the people you're around all the time. And I know there are exceptions. Sometimes you have to work around people that are negative and stuff. But I'm talking about the people you choose. You know, I like that statement. If you want to know what you're going to be like 5 years from now, just look at the friends you're hanging around. And if that's not what you want to be around, you can love them. I found some family members you have to love from a distance, because you know what, they're going to drag you down. But I even read where it's Henry Ford, Harry Firestone, and Thomas Edison had summer homes next to each other in Florida. And you think about those are some of the greatest minds around. Well, they didn't just hang out with anybody. And so I think it's so important to, you know, associate with other eagles, with people that are going places. And too, David, I like to hang around with people, you know, you shouldn't be the smartest one in your group.
Right.
You know, there should be other people that are further along that inspire you. And I think there, you know, you do take time to mentor people. You help pull people up. But you got to have some people in your life that are just further along with you. They're kinder. They're more well off. They're doing better in their marriage. Some people that inspire you to go further. And I really think that sometimes maybe you're hanging around the wrong person. That could be a one decision that you make. I'm not talking about a husband or wife, but that one person, you know, you make that simple change. And I think what people think too, well, you know, Joel, I'm not going to have any friends. These are all my friends. But you make that choice to come up higher in your friendships, and God will give you better friends. You know, it may not happen overnight, but God's got divine connections for you. Don't get stuck somewhere in life. I mean, you know, time is passing by. We're going to look up, and another 10 years is gone, another 10 years, and you're going to think, man, last thing we want to do is get to the end of the life and think, well, I've wasted quite a few years just not being my best.
And, you know, somebody might be thinking right now, well, how do I do that? How do I get better friends? And it's not that difficult. The first thing to do is get involved in a great church, like Faith Church. And then once you get involved in church, you want to get involved in a small group, an iConnect group, a group of people that get around you, that they love Jesus on purpose, and they seek His Word and read great books like The Power of I Am, like I Declare, and other books that spur them on in God. And those are the places where you get to know people, where you get comfortable with people, and where they can start speaking into your life. And what you'll find out is after you start getting full of the Word of God, you'll start speaking back into their life. And when at first you're like a sponge soaking it all in, but then you'll get full and all of a sudden somebody will pick you up and you'll just be overflowing everywhere that you go with the Word of God and with positive feelings and with hope and peace and joy. And so you'll be able to pass that on to other people. And one of the great things about that is when you hang around people who are farther in life than you are, sometimes you tend to think, oh, well, the way they got there is they didn't run into any difficulties and they've never been discouraged and everything's always gone their way. And I don't think that's true. I think we've all had our difficulties.
Yeah, I think everybody has. Nicole, you're exactly right. It's just we all have to fight the good fight of faith. It's people that have come through it. And, you know, you've been through difficult times. We all have. But every time you go through something and you overcome it, you come out stronger. Yeah. You come out with experience. And, you know, it was tough believing for this place. It was a 3-year battle. We were, it's a lawsuit. I had to get the city council members to vote for us. It was on and on. But you know what? Boy, when challenges come along now, I think, boy, that's nothing compared to the Compact Center. Right. You know, it increases your faith. It makes you strong. And really, it's God connecting all the dots. You can't necessarily, you know, grow from A to, you know, all the way down to S. That you got to have those spiritual muscles strengthened. So I think every challenge that you go through, you realize that this is getting me prepared for the greater things God has in store.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, you know. Now, on another, this is kind of a different topic a little bit, but yesterday we were doing the radio program, the Sirius XM radio. And I know a lot of our people at both campuses and probably some people watch on the television, I mean, they tell me all the time. They say, oh, my gosh, I listen to that 24 hours a day. In fact, yesterday we had a caller from California, I think, and the guy said that he went to buy a car and he said, I need the XM radio, and they sold him the car and it didn't have it. He took it back and returned it and said, I want one that has Joel in it. So tell us about that. I mean, tell us a little bit about maybe, if you want, how that got started or how many people are, I know you wouldn't brag, but I mean, what's the reach of something like that?
Well, you know, Sirius is big. Sirius XM is big. It's a part of the message that we all teach, in that God has blessings. He has things stored up for you that already have your name on it, that are bigger than you can imagine. And, you know, we've done a lot of television and other types of media. We've never done radio, and I never kind of wanted to be a minister following another minister on a radio program. Nothing wrong with that. It's just not really who I'm reaching. But, you know, Sirius XM called up and said, you know, you won't take a Christian channel. How about we give you your own channel? And it was just, you know, it's one of those things that blessing chasing you down that you couldn't, you know, they go into 33 million homes, 30 million cars mainly. Right. But, you know, it's just another avenue. 24 hours a day, those messages play. 48 altar calls a day, every one of them, and I just feel very blessed to be
Nobody
there.
Gets as many people saved as you do. I mean, yeah. We saw that the other night in San Francisco. I wasn't at that particular event. We've been at almost all those big ones with you. But they said that almost, you know, they don't know for sure, but at least 20,000 people. I know you had to be just blown away to see 20,000 people stand up and receive Jesus. I mean,
yeah. It's so amazing, and it goes back to, you know, when you talk about the goodness of God, you were saying it earlier, life has beat people down already. Mm-hmm. And for them to come in our churches, I don't have the heart to say, you know what, you've been living wrong, you've been doing this, you've been lying this week. You know what, everybody's already, life has beat us all down. And our message is same thing that the Cranks teach and preach, and that is that God is for you. You can go beyond a mistake in the past. His mercy is bigger than any mistake you've ever made if you just get back in the game. And plus, you can break an addiction. You can accomplish your dreams. I mean, God is for you. The creator of the universe has something great in your future. And, you know, so many times we talk ourselves out of it. Joel, not me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the mistakes I've made. But, you know, if you'd get rid of all that, get back in the game, believe that God's for you, let today be a new beginning, God can still get you to where you're supposed to be.
That reminds me of, you know, that thing came to you. You weren't looking for it.
That's right.
It came to you, and it's just, I'm back to the story of the cows. So if my husband calls me a heifer, it'll be all right. No, he would never do that. But it reminds me of the story of those cows, that how when you start believing the Word of God, when you start believing you were created on purpose, when you start believing there's a destiny inside of you, when you start believing there's a reason that you're here, no matter where you are today, you know, we came out of a hotel room this morning, and we saw some people getting off of a bus going into their job, and we thought, thank you, Jesus, we have a car and not on a bus. Everybody has something to be thankful for, and believing that God's taking you to that next step. I was believing right then when I saw those people, I said, God, give them a car, that they can take their own car to work. And I hope that they're believing. I hope they're watching right now knowing I can believe for my own car to go to work every day. So everybody can believe for that next level. And when they do, it draws.
It really does. Nicole, you're so right. You believe it. You get that vision down on the inside of you. And then you live with expectancy. You know, just, you know, God, I believe you know, and I'm expecting good things to happen to me. I'm expecting your blessings to overtake me. That's foreign to a lot of people because, you know what, they're expecting bad breaks and, hey, it's flu season. I'll probably get that too. And, right. you know, it's just, it's a different mindset. And it's not a mindset of being greedy and I'm just thinking about myself. It's wanting to advance the kingdom, to yeah. fulfill your purpose. And what you said, to be a blessing to somebody right. else, to see somebody walk by, God bless them with a car. Maybe, you know, there'll be times that, I always tell people, don't just be believe for your own needs, but that you could, you know, help right. them get a car sometimes. So that's what it's all about, just to be a blessing, to expecting God's goodness in your life. And again, I said it earlier, it's releasing your faith. It's yeah. not just being positive. It's believing that God, you do have these stored up blessings for me, like it says in Psalms. And Lord, I believe I'll become everything you've created me to be.
So good. I love it. Now, this is like I was thinking a moment ago. You know, we can keep preaching because we only got about, this went fast. We got about 5 minutes before this sermon's done and you guys are going to want to leave. But off subject, we were talking last night about your dad and going to the farm, you know, and fishing. And this is like, nobody's probably asked you this question, but like, different thing. What was fun as a kid for you? I mean, what is Joel? Nobody knows the little Joel. I mean, Joel's playing with Paul and Lisa. And just give us a little insight of your, was there a favorite memory or somewhere you went? Or what did you like to do yeah. with Dad?
You know, it was fun. When we grew up, my dad, who's pastor of Lakewood, he left Lakewood for about 4 or 5 years and traveled overseas. So when I was like 5, 6 to 10, he was in and out a lot. And so we were very middle class, lower to middle, I guess middle class back then. We didn't have a lot of money, but we had great memories. Uh-huh. You know, we'd play hide and go seek through the house with my parents. Okay. We didn't have money really to go on big vacations, but my parents, mainly my dad, he would take us up to the airport when I was like 5 years old because you could ride the trams for free. And so we'd go up there and ride the tram from Terminal A to B, back and forth, and you know, people thought we were crazy, that's thought they were lost. But, you know what, the point being is you don't have to have a lot of money to make good memories. Right. Those are some of my favorite memories, right. that, playing hide-and-go-seek through the house with my parents. But I just think that, again, having a lot of love in the home is an important
really
thing.
Is. People love to hear these stories. I know you're probably uncomfortable, but, like, tell us just real quick a little bit about your mom before we go. I mean, growing up with her, she's still so kind. We were last night with some people, and at the Champions Network event, and they were just talking about this person that needed healing, and your mom right in the middle of a restaurant, we're just going to anoint him right now. We're going to pray for him right now. Was she always a prayer warrior like that?
You know, she always loved to pray, but it really changed in 1981 when she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Okay. And, you know, she was given a few weeks to live through fighting the good fight of faith. She's alive 35 years later. But when that happened, she couldn't wait to go out and to pray for other people. And my mom knows no shame. She'll pray for people yeah. anywhere. And it's a great thing. But you know what? Growing up, she was full of love. She was just, I've said it a lot, but we had a lot of fun. And she just, she loves, my parents always, she still does, but they always loved people. Mm-hmm. My dad was always for the underdog. Okay. I mean, we'd go places, we'd be traveling across the world. And I'd see him in an airport talking to a hippie over there, a young kid. Next thing I know, he's giving him money. I think, why are you giving him money? Well, you know, he needed some kind of help. He's always for the underdog, right. somebody he could help.
Right. It's just amazing. You know, I want us to pray before we leave today, but thanks so much for preaching to Faith Church today. And then we'll put this on our television program. And we just love you and Victoria and the kids and Dodie and your brother. It's just a wonderful thing to just be your friend. Thanks for bringing hope to people that are hopeless. Right. I mean, walking through Washington, D.C. I mean, people go crazy when they see Joel, don't they?
They do, and because you bring hope, and that's what we're thankful for. Thank you for doing what you're called to do, and thank you for bringing hope to people. Thank you for being hopeful. Thanks to your mom in 1981 for believing, I am healed. I am called to live out my days in peace. I will be satisfied and have good salvation and a good life. And I'm just thankful to your family, and I'm thankful that you guys never stop bringing the Word of God to people.
Yeah, and the book, the I Am book, is phenomenal. I'm not as far along as Nicole is because we only have one advanced copy. By the time you guys are watching this weekend, we taped this a few days before this, you're going to have the book is available for you on your way out. So get that book there. If you're watching on television, you can buy it anywhere. Go to Walmart, Target, online, Amazon. Get a hold of the I Am book. Put that in your heart. And I promise you, you'll be glad you did, and you'll be living the life of your dreams. And so, Joel, would you just pray for the people of Faith Church before we go?
I'd love to. Love being with you. Thanks for letting me be there. Thanks for letting us come into your church today. We love you guys. We love your pastors. I know you're in a great place. And you know, the scripture says when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish. So I encourage you to stay planted there. But I would love to pray. Lord, you know, everybody listening right now, those watching on television in different ways, Lord, I know you know their name, their dreams, their goals, their hurts, the challenges that they're facing right now. And Lord, I just pray that they'd feel your presence and your power, that every force that's trying to stop them would be broken right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that you'd release healing, wholeness, restore health and joy and relationships. And Lord, just like you've done for myself and the Cranks, that their gifts and talents would come out in a new way. Lord, I pray that you'd open doors that no man can shut. Those stored up blessings, Lord, I think that they'll walk into it and they'll see amazing things, even as they continue to just move forward in faith, being their best. Let them feel encouragement and joy in their hearts right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And I declare that you are blessed, and prosperous, redeemed, forgiven, talented, creative, equipped, empowered, anointed, accepted, approved, prepared, qualified, motivated, not average, not mediocre, but victors and never victims, children of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you so much.
For more information about Pastor David's teachings and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.